Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
All right, everybody. All right. Welcome to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. We had a little bit of a glitch there. There's some bad weather going on out here in New York. Thunder, lightning. Just bear with us, everybody. We'll get it together. All right. We want to say thank you to God for allowing us another day to be here. I want to thank every one of you that have been listening in. Officially, we are 11,513 people listening. We had a very emotional show last night. I got a lot of feedback about the 911 commemorative segment. I want to thank every single one of you for sharing your time, your thoughts, giving input, and, of course, to those of you who showed your support. Thank you very much. Now I want to say thank you to a very special lady out here in Springfield Gardens, Queens. She's supposed to be listening in at this moment, and her name is Sheila. She is a school crossing guard in Springfield Gardens, Queens. She is one of those people that we spoke about that goes above and beyond the call of duty. And she is out there crossing your children, crossing you, crossing people after school is over, whistling, having a good time. And she never breaks a sweat. She never shows a frown. No matter what anybody says to her, she's constantly smiling. So, Sheila, big up to you out there in Queens, New York, doing your thing. Of course, to our sponsor affiliate, Mr. Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 KISS FM, currently with iSoulRadio.com. You can hear him spin his magic on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m. and on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m., bringing you the best of dance, classic R&B, love songs, everything you could think of. Barry can do it, and he does it well. Also, he is the CEO of Track One Entertainment Event Company. If you don't know by now, there will be an official end-of-summer rooftop party in Brooklyn, New York, at that beautiful Brooklyn Terrace venue. And it will be featuring performances by Double Exposure. And you guys, if you haven't been there already, you need to get a ticket. You can only get them in advance. There's no door sales. And be a part of this, because Barry does not disappoint. Okay? Thank you, Barry, for being a part of our team and allowing us to be a part of yours. God bless you. To my next two people in line, Ms. Stephanie Hammond-Tillett and Ms. Marcia Morgan of Simply Sensational Inc. Entertainment, they too are two extraordinary people who have loaned us their experience and expertise in certain things, and they always give us the time of day. They too sponsor some great grown and sexy R&B events. So those of you looking for the September 18th party, see myself or see Barry on Facebook to get a ticket and be a part of it, okay? The tickets go fast. You can't get them at the door, people, so if you don't get them ahead of time, you're not going to be able to get there. All right, with that being said, tonight's topic is, can childhood obesity be considered child abuse? I have gotten a lot of responses to my pre-broadcast question, and a lot of people had a lot to say, and tonight I want to be able to hear from you as it stands right now. So you guys know how this goes. I'm going to go into my early commercial. When we get back, be ready. Join the panel at 347-327-9967, and we will be happy to hear from you. So here's Joe with Compromise. See you back in 3.5.
Yeah.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody. That was an early break, more double play, with Joe and Compromise and the Fatback Band with I Found Lovin'. A little throwback over there. All right. Tonight's topic is, can childhood obesity be considered child abuse? Now, one of the things that prompted this was a little while ago, there was some talks about the government trying to include obesity as a category of abuse, some sort of child abuse given or imposed upon by the parent. Okay, I am actually very much mixed on the situation because I come from cultures that food equals love, equals doing your job as a provider, equals prosperity beyond poverty, if that makes any difference or any sense to anyone listening. I'm Latina, and Latinas love to cook. I have a Southern African-American father. There's Jamaican in my blood, and all around, it's food. They come together, but with cooking, they feel that if they can't even afford to get them, you know, name brands or whatever the case is, as long as they're eating and they have a home, that they're okay, or they can make it, other things can come later. Well, I also I'm a strong advocate against government interfering with parenting, with the exception, ladies and gentlemen, of real extreme abuse. Okay? I don't believe that the Child Welfare Bureau shouldn't exist, because we all know that there's some sickles out there. I also do not believe that the government should be telling a parent how to raise their child or how to discipline their child unless, as I said before, there's extreme abuse, life-threatening dangers, things to that effect, things are not going to get better, the parent is out of their mind, whatever the case is that constitute true abuse, then I believe those social workers, agents, representatives, whatever they are called, you know, have a purpose. Now, as far as food goes, okay, I think for the most part, no. I don't think that it is child abuse. However, I believe that more of what's happening with childhood obesity is because parents are not really educated on things that can cause it. I also believe that moderation still isn't extremely explained with all these new nutritional restrictions. So a lot of what parents are doing is feeding their child, believing it brings them comfort, believing that they're doing their job as a parent. A lot of times, you know, we get what we feel the kids are happy with as a way of saving time or giving them something to do as a reward, something to that effect. But then there are some extreme cases, even in this respect. Now, sitting in a park where it's predominantly preschoolers, young toddlers, babies, kindergartners, first graders, things to that effect. If you're in a park and I can see a one-year-old baby who has, and by the way, this does not apply, of course, to parents that have children with medical issues, such as a thyroid problem, such as, you know, diabetes or things to that effect that can cause weight shifts, okay, or genetic disorders. We're speaking about children that are just eating, period. That all of this obesity and the things that come with obesity is directly related to poor dieting. Okay, so we have a toddler, barely a year old, just learning how to walk, and they're extremely obese to the point where if they're trying to play on a scooter or just walk up one little step that goes to the little baby slides in the playground, it costs them all of their breath, all of their energy, and it fatigues them. And then when you look over, if they should fall or they can't breathe or their neck is puffed up or their faces are out of control, and you turn around and you see that the parents have a bucket full of, you know, fried chicken from the fast food store, plus they're eating cookies, plus chips, plus the most sugar-laden and fatty things to drink that there is, you might start to wonder whether or not that parent is thinking straight, or maybe they just don't realize that there's danger in those foods. And I do believe that in that case, if it gets to the point where the child's life is in danger more than just the obvious, where maybe the doctor who personally treats this child has told the parents that, you know, certain test results are coming up that are imminent threats, I do believe then that if the parents don't comply or don't at least try to make an effort to change things up, then maybe, you know, some mandatory things are involved. I don't believe that any child should be taken away from their parents because their parents are feeding them, whether they're obese or not. I don't believe that the government has the right to say that. What I do believe is that maybe they should be mandated to go to nutritional classes and learn how to get around it. Now, let's start talking about the things parents face with regards to children and the way they eat. I have a daughter that's 17 years old. All through her babyhood, she was the most finicky, picky, very picky eater, where you could threaten, you can punish, you could time out, you could do whatever, and she wasn't budget. And to this day, she eats that way. She wouldn't eat certain colored foods. There were certain foods that she doesn't like the smell of. There's certain tastes to certain things. She has a very limited diet, and there was nothing anyone could do about it, nothing. Then you have the children that you can give them all the healthiest things in the world at home. It's a strict rule. And they'll still go to school and find a way to get what you forbid them from eating. When they're out with their friends and they're playing in the park and there are certain things. So we're not speaking about those. We're speaking about parents that know it, don't want to hear it, that, you know, they're out there feeding their children on top of what they already see. They're giving their child more to add, and now it's becoming a health problem. Now, I have, like I said, a disdain deep to the core of my soul for any strangers interfering with the way you raise your child from the government. I have a problem with another parent telling a parent in a certain tone what they should and should not be doing. But I definitely have a problem with strangers and definitely people who have never had a child in their life telling a parent that they are right or wrong, especially when you don't know the ideals of anything dealing with the child. And I'm not speaking about step-parents who have raised children. I'm speaking about the young teeny boppers who hasn't had a child or any piece of experience of being a mother or father. And I'm talking about those social workers who doesn't know you from a can of paint, but will come in with their clipboards and their checklists and their textbook knowledge and generalizations of what things should be based on some study that they have about 100 people from a choice state doing whatever. You don't have the right to come in and tell a parent how to raise their child, discipline or otherwise, unless the child's life is in danger from true abuse. But when it comes down to feeding your child, that is a very sensitive issue. So many cultures believe that if you don't eat a lot or you're not heavy set, that you are too skinny, that you are not eating right, that something's wrong with you. Some people believe that if you don't eat healthy, then you're killing yourself. Some other people, I mean, this is just certain things, and it starts to border on the line of cultural belief. Now, I got a lot of yeses, instantaneous yeses, when I posted the pre-broadcast question on my social media. And in the beginning, I mean, I like I said, I have witnessed children that are not even 2 years old. And I have seen them waddling back and forth, some of them because they just learned how to walk and their bones haven't fully molded yet. And they're busy trying to battle extra weight. And then I look over and I see their parents that are sitting there with a basket full of more things to add on to that. I don't know the situation. I don't know if that child is one of those picky eaters and would only give peace of mind if the child will eat. But then again, that can't be something that we use just to keep them out of our hair, even though that is a hard subject to face with no help. But I do believe that if it gets to the point that it's simply parents don't know about the new studies and the new findings, and the new things and the dangers that things that we used to believe were okay now pose a great threat because somebody finally decided to dissect things a little more and find other things. I think then that if they've been informed of it, if they've been counseled on it, which I believe pediatricians and nutritionists and things like programs that deal with food, I believe public assistance should enter some sort of pamphlet or something to that effect. But I believe that if they've been informed and they've been told of dangers and they've been told that their child is suffering that danger or at risk of it, and they refuse to change it or they don't speak about problems that they're having with the child in, as far as eating goes, then they should be mandated to go to a nutritionist class and be taught. I do believe that. And I do believe that the pediatrician should then monitor the child's progress if a change has been made in the child's diet. Now, another thing, I went through a battle of weight up and down due to having babies, due to stress, due to everything. And I'll tell you, when I was trying to lose weight, it was hard. And you know what? I took away certain things that were considered the obvious fats, the obvious sugars. But I got to tell you, healthy foods don't give you very much variety in taste. Things that are organic taste like cardboard and wood sometimes, or plastic with just the aroma of something you like. And for those of you that can handle it straight up the way that it is, kudos to you. But what's so hard about dieting is that if you have to cut out what it is that you enjoy about food, then making this change for healthier purposes should be something that's enjoyable to do as well. This is not medicine you're taking. Medicine should taste like crap at all times so that children don't get encouraged to go look at the big, cute, pink things and want to think because it tastes like bubble gum and something to drink. You're not supposed to be encouraged to take a drug, but you are supposed to be encouraged to eat healthy. And nowadays, all they're doing, in addition to the fact that, you know, you have to go healthy, even the healthy foods now are being pumped up with steroids because the agricultural people now are trying to get more bang for their buck. Which is why our children are developing at 12 and 11 and 9 and 10. I don't think I'm so quick to deem it child abuse, but I don't believe that there should be absolutely nothing done about it. So I would like to hear from you parents, okay, those of you that have obese children or don't. What are you going through? What have you heard? What do you believe? What's your viewpoint? Anything that you're doing that you might have been able to do for a positive change, then kindly call in and share, because maybe there are other parents out there who are going through this and can't. I know one of the things I do is I don't use oil when I'm dealing with food. I try my best not to deal with fried foods. I try to give my family the fun of crispiness without it actually being prepared in deep oil. Okay, I alternate sodas with seltzer water and a favorite juice to make it like a sizzling type drink instead of a soda. I'm very horrible at taking in the recommended allowance of water. I'm really horrible at drinking water. So I try my best not to drink sodas. And I used to drink Pepsis like there was no tomorrow. So as it stands, I believe that parents just need to be educated. I really think that they don't know. I don't think they know. Okay? Now, one piece of good news that came from the powers that be up there in reporting land is that as of August 6th of 2013, they have noticed a significant decline in preschool obesity. And they believe, especially among lower-income families, is because of the WIC program. Being that the WIC program and all of these federally funded nutritional programs really restrict what type of things that you can get with the vouchers. It allows the children to enjoy what they're getting without the added excess. So a lot of children are not coming back with such high sugars in their system or a lot of fat content or whatever. It's going down. And frankly, I find ways of making what normally would not be so appealing to be appealing to the children. You know, there are lower fat content cheeses that still taste normal. There are some cheeses that have a lower content of fat than another, and it doesn't affect the taste. But then there are a lot of other things that say that they're missing the unhealthy factor, but yet the taste is horrible. And with children, it's about entertainment with everything that you do. It's about making it appeal. I'll grill my own chicken breast, and I'll make its own natural juices for it to sit in, and that's what I will use for salad dressing. Okay, that's one of my tricks. Okay, there are certain things that I do with vegetables where I make it a little bit more appealing for them to try. Okay, and you do have to try. You do need to try with them. You've got to alter it up a little bit. But, you know, obesity is a problem, and not because it looks bad, even though, of course, that's one of the things that adds on to childhood obesity, because children are so guided by image and teased really badly and things to that effect. So aside from that part, okay, that's not even an issue. That's just something that's like an added dread to these poor children. But what obesity affects is something that can kill your child. Their blood pressure, stroke at an early age, asthma, respiratory problems, motility problems. For a one-year-old child to have a hard time getting up a less than 1 foot high ladder to a baby slide without breathing as if they need every type of oxygen tank that there is available. Something's got to be done. And by all means, make sure that, you know, the doctors check the thyroid, that you disclose any type of genetic predispositions that your child may have that could affect weight loss shift or weight gain shift, that things, certain diets or certain foods in the diet can cause reactions or make it harder, metabolism issues. So many things could happen. But like I said, this if they are going to speak on abuse or medical neglect, as they're trying to classify it, okay, one of the things that should be taken into account after really assessing this child, and not so much by invading the parents' home, but by taking a look around their peripherals. What are they like in school? How do they act in school? What are the parents like when they're there? If all of these things are okay and the child is well cared for, except for the fact that there's an issue with food, there might be more to it than just the fact that these parents are just feeding these kids bad things. One of the researchers or the research articles that was written out was on a website called GetYourLeanOn.com. And the article is entitled, "Could Childhood Obesity Be Considered Child Abuse?" Now, this writer also believes that the cause of such things is irresponsibility on our nation's part, because there are so many people who are given different conflicting stories up in the nutritional world, United States Department of Agriculture, the you know, Department of Health, and all these other places that are not being clear on what exactly is what. 1 minute apple juice is great because it's pure. Next minute it has too much sugars. 1 minute the only fruit your child will eat, which is an orange, next minute it processes too much sugar. Now they're telling you, you know what, give your child apple juice. First they said make it pure fruit juice, not juice drink, not a juice aid, not Gatorade, not this. Now they're saying, no, don't give them pure apple juice. Give them apple juice with some water in it. Okay. So now you don't know whether apple juice is good. Then they're going to have you running in there and saying, you know, well, now let's look at what's in the apple juice. Well, okay, it says concentrate. Doesn't concentrate just mean that there's apple juice concentrated to a power where you can dilute it with water to make right-sized apple juice? I don't understand. Now, if you eat too much fiber, if you eat too much bread or rice, that's a problem. If you don't eat enough carbohydrates, but then again, now there's bad carbohydrates. And if you don't eat meat, you know, but then again, being a vegetarian is just fine. So what exactly are these parents supposed to do? And then when you've made a mess and all of this stuff is all around, what happens is now you want to come in and say, I don't even know how I got this badly. You know what? Let's call it a child abuse. Parents need to be educated. They need to understand that what used to be might have, new studies have shown that it's not as beneficial as it used to be. Okay? Maybe if you prepare it with olive oil or canola oil and not vegetable oil, which has added whatever, it might be, it'll take some of the effects off. You know what? Let them know that you can start by pan frying or pan searing it with just the nonstick spray, which acts like an oil but doesn't have all the bad things that oils have. And then as you're cooking, add just a little bit so that you could keep it a little moist. And you know something? You won't be taking in as much of the fat intake as if you would have doing it with a quart of oil. How about that, America? One of the things also that tends to happen, as I said, is that a lot of us were brought up in cultures where food was considered bonding. Food was considered healthy. Food was considered prosperous. Italians, Latins, Caribbeans, it's all about food. Some of them do things differently. Caribbeans tend to eat a lot of full-blown heavy foods for breakfast, whereas other people will have cereal, toast, and a coffee and a glass of juice. Now, orange juice might be too sugary. So what is a parent to do? And what about that child that no matter what you do, there's only certain things that they'll eat? What about the parents of autistic children that have patternistic thinking and beliefs and desires? And all they'll eat is certain things that have a certain color, a certain taste, a certain texture. What about that? There are so many factors involved before the first thing that you want to do is go and break up a family by saying it's a form of abuse. I'm going to take a mini break. I'm going to be back. I believe that I have a caller coming in. Should everything go okay, at the end of the commercial, we will be bringing in our first panelist for the evening. I want to thank every single one of you who are in here listening, and I do want to hear from you parents that are out there facing this problem or a third-party witness to it. Okay? What I'm going to go out with at this moment is Michael Jackson, Off the Wall, and I'll be back in 4 minutes.
When the world is going to shoulder.
Now, back with more On The Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On The Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. Tonight's topic is, can childhood obesity be considered child abuse? You just heard from Michael Jackson and Off The Wall. You have heard me read a couple of excerpts from a couple of articles. One good news rate is that preschooler obesity rates have declined tremendously from the 2009 to 2011 rates. And they're attributing that highly to lower income families because federally funded nutritional programs such as WIC have restrictions on what type of sugars, high sodium, fat content products can be purchased with the vouchers that that's given. Now, as stated before, my belief in the situation is I don't think it could be considered child abuse unless there is parents that are in the know about what they're doing, or the parents are just feeding the children to get them out the way, and, you know, no matter what's happening, or doctors have told them, and, you know, they're just, it doesn't matter, stay out of my business, whatever, and the child is suffering. Now, there is a caller on the line. I'm going to bring them in just a minute. One of the things I also want to explain, to reiterate, is that this does not apply to anyone that has medical problems, thyroid issues, predisposed genetic disorders, anything to that effect. It does not. On a whole, parents do not associate food with neglect or abuse. Now, one of the things that has to be taken into consideration is that many cultures believe that food is a bonding, that if their children are eating, then whatever poverty situation they're in is not so bad as long as food is on the table and there's a roof over their head. Latinos, something that I am part of, Southerners from down south, Caribbeans, Italians, all those type of cultures associate food with prosperity, with health, with love, with bonding. So these things, to be told now that you could use this and give them too much, it's like telling them in their mind, I'm giving my child too much love. I'm spending too much time with my child. You know, so if you guys have found you up there in the big old white offices and all the other places that's up there making these big decisions for the nation, if you found out that all the things that we have been led to believe for many years are good things to do, eat your vegetables, make sure you eat all your food, don't waste any food, make sure you drink all your milk, make sure, if you guys are finding out that there are now nutritional counter effects, it is your job to be clear in what exactly it is you're educating us with. And it's not on parents that's believing they're feeding their child to death. They're probably really uneducated on the new changes and what is the problem. So now with that being said, let me bring in our first panelist for the evening and let's hear what they have to say. Bear with me, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening. Welcome to the On The Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. You are with Katie Barnett.
Good evening. How are you?
Hello there. State your name, sir.
My name is Charles. How are you?
Hi there, Charles. I am just fine this evening. How are you enjoying this bad weather?
I am enjoying it perfectly because I'm inside.
Yeah, so am I. Okay. Tonight's subject, Charles, we are speaking on whether childhood obesity can be classified as child abuse. Now, first answer that question from your viewpoint and let me know what you think of that.
It's a loaded question because we were raised, as you said, that you are supposed to clean your plate. You couldn't even get up from the table until you finished your food when I was growing up. I mean, and you had to finish your food because mom spent all day preparing it, which is something that's not even happening anymore, to be honest with you. We're on the streets eating dinner most of the time. Young children are, because parents are out of the house more than, and young mothers and young fathers aren't cooking at home, so there are a lot of choices being made outside of the house, too. It's sticky. It's sticky because I don't know that anyone purposely is wanting to hurt their children. There are some sick people out there, so I don't want to say that either, but, I mean, as far as food is concerned, I don't know that anyone is purposely trying to feed their children to death. I think that when you set food in front of your children, you are wanting to make certain that they are fed, that they are not going to bed with their stomachs growling on an empty stomach. I think when you see a child who is obviously obese, dangerously obese, that's when you're supposed to go to your physician, and those are when those choices are made, whether or not this child is eating too much. I've known a young girl who was 4 years old and was 170 pounds.
Wow.
And she was eating, crying for food, where her parents actually locked the refrigerator because she would get up at night and try to get into the refrigerator, you know. What do you do? And then a lot of times, a lot of people don't think of, is there something that is in the traits of the family that could be the reason behind the child being as big as they are? So it's hard to know.
Well, that was one of the things. I'm sorry, sir. That is one of the things that I did make sure was clear about tonight's topic. It doesn't apply to anything that is medically.
I mean, but some people don't know. Some people don't know because you don't think. And I think that when it's in front of you, I don't know that you see it as
right.
If someone sees it like all of a sudden. You know, I think that gradually your children get big, and you're with them every day. You don't even notice it. I think it's so subtle. And until someone else brings it to your attention, you're like, oh, my goodness, yes, you are getting too big. What are we going to do? You don't want to put children on a diet because diets don't work. We know that already.
So how do we
now feed you healthy? And it's expensive. You want to do the fruits and vegetables, but you can't keep them because they spoil. So you want something that's in the house that you can keep for a long period of time if you're spending your money also. They have taken dietitians out of hospitals now, so you don't even have a dietitian to go to anymore. That's separate, and insurance don't hardly cover that anymore. Nutritionists, what's that? Especially in African American and Hispanic communities, we don't even think about that, you know. And when I was growing up, we had these charts that you had to. The guidelines, if you were a certain age and you were supposed to be this certain height and weight. I came from a family who pretty much were all 6 feet tall and more. My grandmother was over 6 feet tall. So all of my uncles and aunts on my father's side were 6 feet tall and 200 pounds. So we were big people. So we never fit those charts. So when we fit those guidelines, we were considered obese. I was never fat, but we're big people. So we never fit that, you know, that image of what you're supposed to be in. I think every individual person looks at your child, and you look at them with love, hopefully, and you're going to say, what do I need to do to make sure that you are at your best and make sure that I am not feeding you these things? We know that these store-bought foods that have life shelves of 5 and 6 years are not good for you. So if you can avoid eliminating those things, you should. Fruits and vegetables are always great alternatives, you know. Lots of water and exercise, and you don't need to go to a gym. You can walk with your children. You can run with your children. You know, incorporate those things back so that they're away from the television so much and you're putting more physical activity back into your lives, too. Abuse, no. Neglect, possibly.
I say this, okay? Now the agricultural part of our world has released all these, I don't know if they're bored and they're looking for things to, you know, to report, but now all of a sudden, the things you just mentioned that used to be exactly what our parents used to try to force feed us for our own good, you know, no longer hold the same benefits if you let these reports sell it. Oh, remember the days when they used to say, don't drink soda, get an apple juice. Now it's like, no. Apple juice has too much sugars. It produces too much sugars. I used to love strawberries, peaches, things to that effect, and I can eat those all day. Watermelon. Now it's like, wait. No. Now that has to be eaten in moderation. How the hell can you possibly have too much fruits in your body?
You can't. And to be honest with you, those fruits and vegetables, if anyone knows, they resort back to water. So there are no fat calories in them. So you can't eat too much of them. You really cannot.
Well, now what was being told, I know when I went back with my, she was then 4 years old, all right? Oh, what you do now is if you're giving them an 8-ounce glass of juice, make 4 with water and 4 with apple juice. Great. So now they don't like the taste and they won't eat it. That's one of the factors before you called in that I mentioned.
Keep in mind, too, that the products aren't the same as they were when we were growing up also. The things that we are being given are not the same products that we were given when we were children. And if you read the back of the products, it lets you know. Even natural products, it has a lot of sugar in them, added sugar to them. So we have to be more, as consumers, we have to read what we're purchasing as well. Because it's 100% apple juice doesn't mean that it's 100% apple juice and there's no additives to it also. So read what you're buying also. And also, you should be sleeping a certain time of the night. You know, there's no reason if you're in school from 8 till 3 and you come home and you have a nice snack and then you have dinner around, let's say, 7, your children should be sleeping around 9 o'clock. There should be no more eating after that so that you can be rested well enough in order to get up in the morning to go to school. We are out of balance in a lot of different ways. And one thing, sort of, it just kind of takes you into a whole other stream of things, too. Diet is so important. Having gone through a health scare myself last year and having to really check myself, I've had to give up red meats. I've given up pork. Eating a lot more fish, and I love fish, a lot more chicken and turkey. Staying away from the fast food places. I don't even know the last time I went to a fast food restaurant. You know, making better choices for your children and for yourself, because as parents, you lead by example. You can't have 2 Big Macs and 1/4 pound for lunch and tell your child, I have an apple.
True.
You know, so.
I think it's more than that, though. I mean, there are so many confusing reports. What gets me.
You don't need a report when you're looking at your child.
No.
You know that a 5-year-old child should not weigh 170 pounds.
I'm talking about with regards to choices of food. Like I said,
you also know that if you're going out at least 4 times out of the week eating out for dinner, then that is not a healthy choice, too.
And that would be obvious stuff. Now, let's talk about regular people trying to just feed their children what they feel is nutritious. They've been told, we've been told, clean your vegetables, eat that broccoli, eat those Brussels sprouts. You remember how many times you used to gag because you hated what you had to do, but we had to eat those vegetables? Well, now let's think, okay? Whether they were canned or freshly made, it didn't matter. They were vegetables. Now, let's think. Back then, they said, eat fruits, eat vegetables, drink nothing but juice and water and milk. Okay, now milk has added stuff into it because they're injecting cows now. So if these kids' normal lean hamburger now has steroids and now the children are developing, looking like they're 15 when they're only 9, then you have the milk. Now you can't just drink whole milk. You got to drink what I call the white stained water in order for it to be considered healthy milk. What the hell is that?
Well, the fact of the matter is that the same way you can check online and see what the latest iPod is coming out, the same way you can check online and see what everything is happening when you want to buy these certain products, you can look at online and check out foods also. And there's no excuse for it. There's no excuse for it.
What I'm saying is that what used to be wholesome foods to us is something that now, you know, you got to buy certain types of it. And what I believe is that a lot of these parents are not educated on what the USDA standards are now. Because you know why? They bring out one type of report and tell you one thing, then turn around and say, you remember the Atkins diet craze?
Mm-hmm.
One minute they said, you got to have proteins, which comes from meat, which comes from, you know, red meat, this and this. Now they were saying, no. Don't eat no meat, just carbs. Now carbs is too bad because now there's bad carbohydrates. Okay,
of course,
so
but you also have common sense, and you don't have to use. You know that if you're going to the store, and your children are eating Chinese food for dinner every night, that that's not healthy. I don't care what you're saying, you know. And I understand that people have choices, and sometimes you want to enjoy your Chinese food. I mean, everything in moderation, of course, you know. But unfortunately, we have young parents who don't want to know because their mind is so focused on so many other things. Let's be very clear. You have teenage parents who will dress their children to death, buy them the latest in everything, right, and not put the same kind of concern in what they're putting in their stomachs. That's just a fact.
We know that's a factor. We know that's a factor. Now, frankly, myself, I don't believe that governments should be advocating to parents whatsoever except in cases that are proven extreme abuse. Real abuse. I'm not talking about a teenager who got a whipping because her father found out that she was smoking weed after midnight in the corner. No, I'm not speaking on that. I'm speaking about people that get up with a crowbar on a daily basis and beat a kid down and do things simply because they look like their mother or they look like their father and they're drunk and they don't like the fact of it or they're aggravated with life. I'm not speaking about those people. I believe child welfare agencies have their purpose for those type of children. Kids that are being molested.
And they're not working either.
Exactly. But what I mean is they need to keep their damn nose out of parenting households because every parent, usually a parent, on the whole, a parent loves their child and wants the best for them. So for those For those people that are out there that are breaking the bond of what parenting means, beating their kid, molesting their child, you know, doing something like that, that's what government needs to be for. Now, as far as food goes, in my viewpoint, I believe this. I believe that parents that are not either able to afford or choosing to take their children to a fast food restaurant every day and are trying to give their children what they believe is healthy. Also, a lot of times, do you remember us growing up? Quantity was not a thing that was a bad thing. Where the more, if you wanted seconds, they were like, yeah, that boy can eat or that girl can eat. But, you know, a lot of people found pride in that, especially your mother who slaved all day.
But you keep in mind, too, back when we were younger, we were outside playing. We weren't inside playing Candy Crush and all these other video games also. So you had physical education in school, too. So you were running, you were playing handball, racquetball, whatever it was, basketball. You were doing something physical that also assisted in your weight, balancing your weight also. This electronic craze, which I'm a part of it as well, I'm guilty, but I'm also an adult. I can make choices for myself that a lot of young people can't. We have to be better about what we're doing with our children. And then also keep in mind, too, these same parents will find $5,000, $10,000 to put a birthday party for a seven-year-old, okay? So there are choices that we are making, and we are choosing the wrong things. You know, you can put $300 sneakers in your child's feet, but you don't know enough to know what's a healthy way of feeding your children. You know, and for some people, any food is better than nothing at all. So I understand that too, but we're talking about obese. We're talking about young people who are morbidly obese to they're unhealthy. And my sister just lost a friend of hers who had gained a considerable amount of weight after stresses and the loss of a parent and the loss of a sibling and stuff like that, too. So those emotional eaters also, a lot of those things take part also. So we have to take a point in what are we eating, why are we eating it, what times are we eating it, are we putting enough physical action into our day also to combat what we're eating also, are we exercising enough, are we drinking enough water? Most people aren't drinking enough water. They're just not.
Oh, I'm guilty of that. I could tell you that right now, but this isn't specific to childhood obesity where the parents make the choices for their children. And I say, like I said, I don't believe that the first intention is for a parent to overfeed their kids.
No, I don't think so. But
But now that we're
having a discussion, now we can think about those things. So what am I feeding my children, and why am I giving my child so much? And how come he or she is so much bigger than what they were last year? And is it a health issue? Is it something that is a trait issue that's something that you can't really control through diet? Is there something else going on? Usually by the time you figure that out, it's gone so far that it's almost deadly to their child.
And as I said, I believe that parents who are believing that are associating, you know, being able to feed their children, okay, mm-hmm. and feeding their children. A lot of us are struggling parents, and the bills got to get paid and everything. But as long as we can see that our children are eating, we feel at least fulfilled to that point. But now what I'm saying is, what about those parents? And like, let's take out the extremes. Now, I believe it's abusive to me to see a one-year-old child who just learned how to walk and is just getting his grip on life that is morbidly obese, not due to a problem with medical, not due to a predisposed genetic disposition, none of that stuff. And I'm seeing that while that child is huffing and puffing just to make their step over to a, you know, those baby slides that have the very low, low, low steps to get up, and that's a hard time. I mean, I witnessed this in a park, okay? I witnessed this in a park just recently, and just yesterday I saw another. What I mean is, if this child needs to have three people help him lift one leg, and I'm not being exaggerant to those listeners that are out there, to lift one leg, and he still needs to hold the banister just to help himself lift up his own leg to get it up not even 6 inches off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And he's huffing and puffing for dear life. One second, if he's huffing and puffing for dear life, if he could barely move because he's rocking back and forth, then you turn over to the bench where his parents are, and you see that parent has a basket full of food that includes fried chicken by the bucket from the corner, and this child is just eating with his hands. And then after the chicken, he's eating fries. And then after the fries, he's eating three bags of chips and then four of those Big Burst juices or whatever the case is. Okay? Either that parent is not informed, doesn't want to go any other on the way, but in that case, I think maybe some intervention needs to be done. But I don't think taking the children away is one.
I don't think that you should ever. That should be the last resort to remove
them
from their home.
I think they should mandate these parents to take nutritional classes, but they should be clear on what exactly is a balanced whatever.
But we do know this now, though. This is not something that we don't know.
I don't think so.
We do know. Yes, we do know. We do know. You know, when you go shopping and your shopping bag is full of boxes of cereal, that's not healthy.
Okay, I'm not speaking on that. That's just common darn sense.
But I'm saying, though, that's where it starts from, too. And you also know that if your child spends most of their time in front of a PlayStation video game, and I love PlayStation, if your child's on a cell phone playing a video game or something, if your child is doing more of that because they're not requiring physical education like they used to do when we were in school, too, you had to pass. I remember a kid had to go to summer school for gym, for failing gym. I said, summer school to play? Really? So, I mean, it's not even an issue anymore. A lot of these young parents, and I'm going to say it, they don't seem to have a real clear understanding or concern. There's
and if concern is the issue, then it's abuse. If a lack of concern is the issue, then it's abuse. But if it's just a lack of not knowing, I'm telling you, there were certain things that one of my children was the most picky, finicky, I will not eat anything but X, Y, and Z from birth. I'm talking about from formula to breastfeeding to the types of first foods in the little jars that we could get her to everything. To this day, that child is still very finicky about the foods that she'll eat. And that's one factor that a lot of people need to understand, that there are children that way, that you could threaten them, you can put them on punishment, you can tell them you're not getting your dessert till you eat this, and they'll just, I'm not going to eat it. What about parents that have autistic children that have certain textures, colors, smells, shapes of things that they'll eat and nothing else? I had a I had a homemaker person that I knew that has an autistic 7-year-old son that would only, for the first year of his life,
mm-hmm.
okay, would only eat the cheese doodle
mm-hmm.
or the puffin corn because it was orange and it was either soft or it was crunchy. So she had to deal with that. There are a lot of factors, but on the whole, the government changes what is right, what is wrong so often. Now, I'm not speaking about people that don't have, let me say this. If you're eating Chinese food every day, you must be rich. If you're going to take out every day, you must be rich. But you are also bringing in, you know, about 5 years off your life with each meal. All right? Do I enjoy my takeout food every so often? Absolutely. I think Chinese food, depending on what you're getting, you know, has a little more of a healthy content to it. But then you're adding all other sorts of stuff to go with it. Here's the other problem. Let's say parents who do have obese children now want to go and, you know, make a sudden cold turkey change. Now they don't even make healthy foods that give people a chance to enjoy it. Because, listen, you're taking out gluten in some things. And then when you compare that to what used to have gluten in it, mashed potatoes is one example that I'm going to give you. All right? I make mashed potatoes from scratch, but there are ways that I can make box mashed potatoes, and you couldn't tell the difference because of the things I do to it. Now, I can tell you right now, the two times that I have made instant mashed potatoes in since trying the gluten-free, there's absolutely no saving that horrible taste. It tastes like the box. That's one. Then there's the organic apple juice. First of all, it doesn't look like apple juice. It looks like clouded water.
Yeah.
And then when you taste it, it's more like apples gone bad. So
yeah.
Why does healthy have to be horrible? And there are
it doesn't have to be horrible. And there are other alternatives. You can go online and you can check the. You can Google anything nowadays. There's no reason for anything. The same way you can go and see where the latest sale is going to be at, you can figure out where the foods are, Whole Foods, wherever you want, wherever store is nearest to you, and start to purchase certain things like that. You know that if you're a person who's relying on public assistance, you know what day your check comes, and you know, have enough time to investigate where your best value is going to be at for your dollar. People aren't putting in the time, not just all people aren't putting in the time. They're just not putting in the time because everyone is so rushed to do something, whatever that something is. We are neglecting our children on all avenues, not just in weight, in education, in everything. We're not talking to our children, talking at our children. And I think that there's a point where the parenting, like, there needs to be some kind of parenting class, it seems like, because it seems like, and I know people only can only teach what they know, but you also have to want to know more. You have to have a desire to want to know more. You can't be stuck in the mindset and thinking that ours is enough. And a lot of people,
I will tell you that parenting classes do not include education on nutrition. I'll tell you that. What they teach you is how to read the signs of each child. What's a green light kid? What's a red light kid? What's a yellow light kid? They teach you that. How to control your temper. How to deal with different children's temper tantrums, things to that effect. But nutrition, no. And to be honest with you, okay, I don't think that the lower income people, all right, actually get the best of the best when it comes down to things shipped to their supermarkets. But even so, I agree with you on one point. No matter what is or what isn't, it's a parent's damn responsibility, first and foremost, to want better for themselves and their child. But for those parents, okay, there are a lot of single parents that are out there. And let's not even talk about the ones that we point fingers at when it comes down to trying to be their children or not doing whatever. What about those parents that do? I'm a mom with many things to do. So all of you that know me know I write. I'm a radio show host. I have to be a PTA mom. I have to do certain things. And my thing is, growing up the way I grew up, I do not like to have my children eat out of boxes on a daily basis. You're right. I don't believe in the frozen dinners all the time. Do I buy them? Of course, because every now and then we're out going on the road somewhere, or it works if you're running late in the morning, whatever the case is. But is that my mentality, that's what I want my child to sit down with and eat? No. And there are times, struggling mom as I am, that if I have to go out there and get something quick and cheap and convenient, then I make sure that when I do cook something that comes prepared already, I have to add my own touch to it to not let it seem that way. So there are things that I do. There are certain cheeses out there that taste very good and don't have the high content anymore. One thing I can say, Kraft American cheese, the white American cheese, all right, by Kraft, has less content in it, less fat content in it, and tastes great. But now let's go over to, like I said, we have organic eggs. You cook those things. Now, I hate eggs. I know people listening to me go, what? All right, I hate eggs. But I know how to cook them, and I know what they should look like. Okay? So when they're coming out in a pan, and they look like something you just put together trying to make flour and water glue because you can't afford Elmer's glue. All right? Or they're looking like something that's going to be plastic in about 3 seconds if you don't eat it right away straight from the pot. I have a problem with that.
Well, let's be also mindful, too, that a lot of people aren't even sitting at the table eating with the children anymore either. When we were growing up, my sister, brother, and I, we sat at the table and we had dinner together. And even if Mom and Dad weren't at the table with us, we sat at the dinner table and we had dinner together every night. There was no eating in front of the television. There was no eating in your bedroom. You had dinner at the kitchen table. And so we have to bring that back also. So when you do that, you can determine what's, because sometimes I don't think that we're really even aware what we're feeding our children. We're just knowing that it's 5 o'clock and you got to eat something. I think that we have to start to set boundaries. What time is dinner? Is there dinner time? We had a time for dinner. Right now, the time is whenever you get home. That's what time dinner is. Dinner could be 9 o'clock at night. And you shouldn't be eating that late at night.
I'm on the fence with that one because there are a lot of single moms and dads out there that have to work the hours that they work. Some of them try really hard to keep as much of a family quality value as they can. I know myself, I have to make sure that after I pick up my children from school and take them off in the morning, I've got to cook very early to have dinner ready so that when I come to broadcast, the children have eaten and been bathed in the whole night. So,
there are certain circumstances I understand when you. I'm saying dinner should not be at 9 and 10 o'clock at night for young children, especially when school is starting, also, unless you are a parent. And then also, where is the village that's assisting us in caring for our children, too? Because that plays a part in it, also. We had a wonderful landlord who's, God bless her, rest in peace, Miss Bessie, who lived downstairs from us, who made sure that we had food. It was very difficult growing up in the 70s and the 80s. She would bring school lunches from her job to bring to us, the milks and the juices and stuff like that, you know. And then we had my godparents and my aunts across the street. And so there was a time in which we have to start including people into our lives. We can't be so secluded. And we have to bring back where family is assisting us. And you have to ask for help, too. No one's mind readers, too.
Okay, let's talk about the village that is already implemented. And we both know that the village that used to be no longer exists. Like you brought up before on a previous segment, a lot of people don't want to be a part of the village for fear of their own lives. I get that. But now let's talk about this. Let's talk about the pediatricians, okay? Pediatricians tell you your child is overweight. They tell you things. They give you suggestions. Now, I have enough children to know that when I go in and I ask my 54 questions because they're busy trying to meet a deadline per patient, and I don't go for it. Because you're not going to rush me out because your bosses say you should be clicking a little stopwatch and do speed patient scene when my child has to go home with something you just said that I'm not clear about. So I definitely go, well, I'm sorry. I need to know what that means. What exactly does that mean? Okay, I got told more vegetables, more fruit, less candy, less sugar. So now I'm sitting there, I'm telling them, well, this is the child that's a vegetarian. She eats no meat, she eats no candies, and all she eats is vegetables and fish. But you're telling me that there's still an issue with, I think something with the pressure, it wasn't the pressure, something with iron level or whatever it was. She can't eat any more iron-rich food than there is.
Okay.
Okay, triglycerides.
Well, that's a medical issue. That's off the topical.
Right, but that's not what was being said to me. What was being said to me was that there was something with her diet. Now, at first I got told that I could be considered an abusive mom for allowing my 13-year-old to choose to be a vegetarian. So I kindly laughed at the person and said, yeah, when that person shows up at my house, I'd like for them to show me where the abuse is. Okay, that child used to be one of the children that were a little chubby in her age. When she started her her vegetarian thing, and at the first I thought it was a fad and it was going to go away. But she sort of hated meat, actually, when she was little. She said it looked too big and gross to her, even as a very young child. But she has lost wonderful weight. She's shaped up. She's energetic. She has. I've never seen her healthier or more happy. Her skin glows. Now, while I need a meat or two here and there, I mean, I love my poultry, my seafood. I'm not very much into red meats and pork, not because I have any religious anything. I'll eat pork every now and then, but I don't have the taste for it. But I can cook it. You know, I can cook it, but my preference, I'm happier with turkey and chicken and fish anyway. I love my shrimp, Lord knows. You know, but it's like, They have so many conflicting ways of what is right for your child. Now, there are plenty of parents that I know that will not even buy a soda. One of the things I do, I used to be a soda addict, everyone. I am a coffee addict, but I've gotten better, and I will tell you that. But my thing used to be coffee and soda. Okay, coffee and soda and juice. I love juice. Coffee and soda. You could not catch me without a Pepsi in a minute. But then it just so happened that I started realizing what I loved most about the soda wasn't exactly that it was a Pepsi, was the fizz.
Okay.
Okay, so now I said, well, wait a minute. I love my juices. So what I started doing was every juice that I had, I buy salsa water and I put it in there, and it's wonderful to me.
Same thing. The same thing. But I'm saying, though, okay, so this is what happens then. Each one teach one. As you learn and as you inform yourself, you share the information. When you're sitting in the doctor's office, in a pediatric office, you talk to the doctor and you tell them, those of you who are listening right now, you have over 11,000 listeners right now, you single moms and dads who I know doing the best that you can, each one of you teach one. So now that's 22,000 people who are learning something brand new. So that's what we have to do. The topic was abuse. That word is I've seen abuse. I know what abuse is, and I think that when it comes to food, I don't know that anyone wants to mix those messages of I'm feeding my child as I'm abusing my child.
They're calling it medical neglect. It's not really.
Everyone is doing the best that they know how, and we educate ourselves, and we must educate ourselves every day. We must learn more to be better, because when you stop learning, you stop being, you know. So educate yourself. Everyone, just go out there and educate yourself, and don't get so caught up in the Dr. Oz information, because when you watch some of these shows, it'll make you sick, because these symptoms, that you get them just by listening to them. Recognize how you are feeding your children, what you are feeding your children. Limit certain things like preservative foods and cookies. Bake. People don't bake anymore.
Bake and grill.
People don't even bake. I mean, my grandmother used to bake stuff for us. Now everything is store-bought, you know? I mean, I think that may play a part in it also. Make sure that they're exercising your children's lives. Make sure that they're on a Saturday. Why not walk to a park if the day is beautiful outside? Why not run someplace or take a karate class or something those things are available out there if you're looking for them. And then and we'll do better. I'm hoping that there are people out there aren't hurting their children on purpose, but unfortunately we know that there are some people who are not well mentally, and they are. But if you see something, say something, and without being judgmental, you can speak a concern if you're a family member, and then also if you can afford to, why not buy something for a single parent, groceries perhaps, share something, information, and see how that works also. We can get better. We can do better. I don't know that I like the government always pointing the finger at us. And I'm going to tell you, too, it's not just low-income people also. There are people who have psychological issues, and they're using food to fix what they are unable to resolve with food.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Of all economic status. So, I mean, there's not poor people and rich people. I've seen some well-off children who were obese, you know.
A lot of that, listen, the childhood obesity situation was not under any circumstances dealing with minorities or gender or class. It's not that. It's a problem worldwide among everyone. And a lot of people just have simple access to it. A lot of people are caught up in their busy world, and they pack up the fridge so that the kids and their friends could have fun with it. There are people that way. Now, what I will say is this. If you are looking at your child, and your child has not made preschool yet, and your child is huffing and puffing and waddling and falling and breathing and gasping for air, it's not what you see that's the problem. It's what's going on inside while that baby's body is trying to compensate for all that excess. And it's not about what people say by looking at the child and the image remarks they make. It's about what's going on in that body.
And if you are mom and dad and you are huffing and puffing, then it's obviously there's something
too.
Else going on,
now,
too. So you do better for yourself. And sometimes it's going to be rough. And I'm not a parent. I'm only an uncle. But I know this, that when my nephews were very little and I would watch them, I cooked for them and I made them eat at the table. And I cooked for them. And their mother cooked for them, too. And I think that we have to get back to a place where we are eating at the table so we are aware of what's eating, what the likes and dislikes are. I think that a lot of times, too, I have a very good friend of mine whose daughter didn't even like milk, but she drank milk when she was in school but wouldn't drink it at home. Because when you're around your peers, you tend to do what your friends do. So I think that you have to bring people in your life who do as you would like your children to do, and eventually, unless there's some kind of allergic reaction of some sort, it will fall in line. I think so. And I think we can do better. We can do better at a lot of things that we do.
Food needs to be taken out of the picture. Medical neglect should be taken out of the picture. I think that everybody should be educated. A lot of these parents really don't know, because, like I said, not that they don't know common sensibly, that if you eat too much fried chicken, you're going to look like a fried chicken. I mean, I'm not saying like that. I'm saying a lot of people believe, listen, there's a lot of people that make collard greens and add so much extra seasoning that takes away the benefits of what collard greens are supposed to do. You know, I used to be one that used to put pork in it, you know, because that was what I was taught by my southern half and my Caribbean half. Now what I do is I put smoked turkey in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or I actually find alternatives that give you the flavor without the actual content of it. There's a lot of people in my family that don't eat pork or can't eat pork, but they like the flavor of the smoking.
Well, this is what we do, you know, since we're talking about it and we're having this discussion, and it's an important discussion. Those who are listening, go online and Google healthy choices in your community. See what stores are supporting what you want. Also, read the mind, too. The people that you are voting for, too, also are directly responsible for the people who are in your community supplying your stores and your goods and stuff like that, and your produces, too. So you want to make sure, stop and frisk, and all things are important, but you want to make sure that the people who are in your communities who are opening up stores to supply your demand, that they have in store what you need also. Don't support it. Don't buy from them if they don't have what you need. And sometimes you might have to walk a couple of blocks away from than you would like to in order to get what you want. But search it out. If you can find out where they're going to have the latest iPod at, you can figure out where they're going to have the best vegetables for your buy or the best fruits for your buy. You can do that too, you know. And we will do better. and we have to continue to want to do better. And I don't want anyone to hurt their children. And if you are a person listening to this radio station and you are in a place where you're not sure what to do, ask someone, because there are no manuals that come with children. And every child is different. Every child is different. Ask someone, what can I do for my son or my daughter to assist him and her in the becoming well-balanced children and becoming well-balanced adults also? You know, because we don't know. It's all trial and error.
We don't. And you're right. Ask. If you got one of those picky, finicky eating children that won't eat anything except if it looks this way or smells that way, you know, there are healthy choices for that. One of the things that I do, I battled weight myself, not because I was obese. I just didn't like it was just too much for me. I went through pregnancy weight going up and down, and it wasn't, and I tried diets, and I'm going to tell you that diets don't work. Diets that are, maybe it's the psychological concept in people's head that they know they're dieting, but I think the ones that allow you to eat what you're used to eating but just eat it in moderation work more, but even with that, there's still a restriction. I lost, I'm proud to say that in the last, let me see, March, April, May, this is now September, June, July, August, September, okay. In the last 5 months, I've dropped 32 pounds.
And I've all gained right? 32. And I look good, too.
I have dropped 32 pounds now. I want to let you know, I didn't realize I dropped 32 pounds until I took I took two pictures, and I, you know, to post on Facebook for fun. And I realized, I was like, oh. I put it side by side. I was like, you know, all of those times that I was picking up jeans that I used to have a little hard time getting into, and now they're kind of falling. It still didn't dawn on me that I lost weight. I just thought, you know, I stretched them out or whatever. What happened was I put these two pictures side by side, and I realized that without going through all these Dr. Oz fads, the people, the chew, the doctors, the whatever it is, I started realizing that just certain things that I just – started losing taste for or not being interested in and going another route actually worked. I was a little more active because I got a daughter now who's 8 who is in love with photography, so she constantly has me going out to the park to take pictures in her mind, and I love supporting early children's dreams. So what I do is I go out with her. As much as I hate pictures, then I'm finding out that actually her and one other person takes pictures I actually like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that started to be my physical activity, going to the park, into the, my front yard, going around, you know, spinning, amusing her when she goes, you got to be more like a model, mommy, and go like this. So I do certain things. And it started to become something that internally was working for me. But I started realizing I was taking salsa with juice. I was making ice. I was making sparkling iced tea, meaning that after I prepared some iced tea, I put some salsa in it with my lemon and whatever sugar went with along with it, and I loved it. And
then
like,
for iced tea also, stay away from those instant iced teas. If you are listening to any, stay away from those instant, those things are not good for you because you are not in control of the sugars that are involved. Lipton iced tea, and you can add the sugar that you think you need to add to it, you know, but stay from these instant things. Ladies and gentlemen, start really trying to go back to basics, really. And if you can, try to at least twice, three times a week, prepare meals in your home for your children. Not the store-bought box macaroni, but make your own baked macaroni. It's just as easy to do that also, you know, and start baking your foods. And everyone has a George Foreman grill now. Start grilling your food. You don't even have to go outside to grill anymore. You can grill things inside now. We can do better. Drink your water. Try to make sure your children are having whatever amount is what they consider is a good amount of, I'm not sure what the amounts of water is. I like water now, and I drink it a lot. And
don't
I even drink lots of water, too.
Don't
know.
Show off. I still have a hard time drinking water, but I did start doing one thing. If I'm preparing tea, I'll drink the water warm. You know, it goes down faster for me because I had an accident and cold was actually annoying to like my, so out of my head for some point.
You can add juice to water. You can actually add flavor to water now. You, I mean, there's a lot of things you can do.
I'll buy the sugar.
Yeah.
One other point, I mean, one other tip, ladies and gentlemen, that worked for me, and I've noticed that no matter how up or down I went, no matter what my physical results were, I never had problems with cholesterol or triglycerides or anything like that, HDL, LDL, none of that, because I don't use oil much. I mean, I use oil sparingly. When I prepare my eggs, when I prepare my French toast, when I prepare anything, I use the nonstick sprays. There's different flavors. There's olive oil, canola oil, vegetable oil, grill. There's all varieties of it. And you don't have to specifically get Pam or Mazola as long as it's a nonstick spray, okay? The other thing that I will say is if you are going to use oils, use canola. I mean, I do have my preference to corn oil, but canola actually is a good alternative. If you love the flavor of corn oil, canola, I think, is the next best. Now, everybody is recommending olive oil. I personally hate the way olive oil alters the taste in certain things unless it's a dish made for olive oil. But, you know, just to have olive oil for regular cooking, I couldn't do that. Okay, so I know a lot of us are not really acceptable or accepting of what is considered the ideal thing to do. So we have to come to a middle ground. Those of you that have children who don't like salads, okay, make a grilled chicken salad with your own way of seasoning your own meat. And instead of you using salad dressing, make the gravy, the natural gravy from your chicken, and use that as your salad dressing. And I guarantee you, they'll start to like it that way a little more. You know, a lot of kids don't like salad dressing to some point, too, for some reason, no matter how cute the color is.
Yeah, and then also we can't hold ourselves to somebody else's standard of how we're supposed
Absolutely.
To look. We
Absolutely.
Are black and Hispanic people. We do not look like these charts. We never have. So if your children are healthy, if you know that, and you know your children better than any doctor, if you know that your kids are healthy and they're getting the right physical the physical education that they need, going out there and exercising and those kind of things, if they're getting their kind, and you see your children more than anyone else outside
and
of
you
their
know
team,
your children.
You know your children.
As far
yeah.
as those parents that are out there that just have a lack of concern, then I think, you know, some intervention should be given. If you, like I said, you can't not notice that your child is struggling to get up a 2-inch step.
Yeah.
Okay,
and
you can't not notice it. You can't not notice that there's 5 children playing, you know, hide and go seek, and your child is taking twice the time to go find one child.
It's
or
painful.
Catch one child. I'm not speaking about sprinting abilities. I'm talking about regular motility.
And stop cursing at your children. Stop calling your children fat. Stop insulting these babies because they carry these scars with them for the rest of their lives. You don't like it, so you know they don't like it either. And we have to do better. We have to do better. As people in black and Hispanic communities, we have to do better in how we raise our children. And there's no more excuses anymore because we have access to more than our parents had access to. So how do we get a pass on not knowing when there are books, there's television, there's computers? We have access to everything now. So how do we get a pass? We can't get a pass. There's no excuses anymore. So go out there and be informed. Get informed and get involved in your children's lives and be responsible for what you put in your children's body and what you put in your own body, too. Be an example. You are the role model, not the teacher, not the athlete, not the singer, the performer, but it's you, mom and dad, you know, regardless of your age. And I know that sometimes when you are a young parent, you don't always make the best choices, but forgive yourself and then choose another choice the next time, you know. And we can do better, and we will do better. I believe that. I believe
Indeed.
That.
And regardless to what new studies are out or whatever, you know, it is our job as parents to inform ourselves, and then from whatever advice you're given, whatever blanket tips you're given, whatever collective information or data that's being put out there, we have to take what applies to our children and use whatever works. You know,
and share it.
I don't believe, yes, yeah, share Because, you know, if that person that you tell may or may not be able to apply it, but at least they've heard it. And they might be able to pass it on to somebody who can. But one thing I will say is that, you know, diets that restrict normal way of being never work. Mm. People want taste. People want flavor. People want to feel like, you know, that they're living while they're dieting.
I love to cook, right? I got my love of cooking from parents and my mom, of course, but mostly my grandmother and my grandfather was a chef. And I think that the best way is to teach your children how to eat. They learn by watching you, really. So if your children are up at this time of the night, it's 10 o'clock now, your children should not be up, first of all, at school. They should be in bed. They should have eaten already, unless there's a circumstance that's avoided, that's happened, that was out of your control. Dinner should be finished, bath time, and time for bed. There's no order. We have to bring order back into how we're raising our children. The TV goes off, lights go out, and it's time to go to sleep. And we had bedtimes when we were growing up. There's no bedtime. You got these 4-year-old and 5-year-olds who are up at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, when they got to go to school the next day because mom and dad are too tired to watch them. You know, everyone is too busy. And we have to do better by our children. We must. We must do better. We owe that to them. And the government is not going to take care of it. They're not going to. You're going to have to take care of it. You're going to have to take the ring, and you're going to have to really be the champion for your children. And you have to say, not on your watch. And that's what we're all going to have to say. And even if you're not a parent, if you can be an assistant to a parent, then do that as well. And we just have to ask the Most High to give us strength to encourage us so that we can be better for one another. And let's stop judging each other so harshly also, because it's not easy.
Indeed.
It's not easy.
As we were saying a little bit earlier, one of the alternatives is that children, for those parents that are dealing with the super picky eaters, for those of us, I know myself, I cannot deal with bland or unseasoned or, you know, straight up certain things. A lot of us don't drink milk. Some of us can't take it. Some of us just don't like the taste of straight milk. There are alternatives to that, to be able to take in your dairy content. You know, I like to mix a little fruit with a little bit of sweetener in smoothies with milk, or there are times that you can add a little bit of a chocolate syrup, because sometimes if the children smell it, not necessarily taste it, their mind is tricked into believing they're drinking chocolate milk. Or you can have chocolate milk with the 1% base or the 2% base, however that works. They do that in schools. They offer chocolate flavor with low percentage milk, and actually more children are drinking it that way. There are ways for you to have a healthy eating style without giving up eating or the enjoyment of food. That is one thing. Also, moderation plays a big role in the way food is processed in your child's body. Okay? We can no longer allow, you know, our children to have plates of food that look like Mount Helen.
No.
and then allow them to have a second helping the same way. You know? And if anything, when they ask for seconds, add a little more of the vegetables on there than the stuff that they're actually looking at.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. But definitely, things already come with additives, with added sugars, with added fat content, with added sodium. So certain things that you can do in preparation not to add to that, but still give it flavor, there's plenty of things.
Yeah.
All right? Mrs. Dash, I used to use, but it's ridiculously expensive for a 2-inch bottle.
You can find some on sale. You got to go and investigate. There's some prices that you can. There's some on sale.
There are flavor alternatives to allow your food to be enhanced, and you not take away the enjoyment. Like I said, of food. Frankly, I think that's the problem with diets. It's too much.
I found this seasoning. I'm going to give them a promotion. Kirkland Organic No Salt Seasoning. It's a godsend. Perfect for any kind of vegetable and meat that you want to season your food with, you know. Start to look and see what's out there, though, and invest your money wisely. If you can have a $5,000 birthday party for your child, you can spend a couple extra dollars on what you're putting inside your children's body. You know, if you can afford to get the clown and the bouncy castle and all these things like this and spend hundreds and thousands of dollars on computers and games and stuff like that, and those things are nice. And if you can afford it, by all means, no one's telling you not to do it. But take the same initiative to put what you're putting in your children's body as well as what you're putting on your children's body as well, too. The schools aren't going to do it for you, necessarily.
No, they're not. They're going to give you exactly what the government says they can give you. They're going to give the portions that's recommended. But they're not going to follow up and see if each child is doing what they're supposed to do. They will not. Now, a lot of the teachers are trying to integrate, you know, and promote healthy eating. I know my children's elementary school does, PS 37 Cynthia Jennett School in Springfield Gardens. They are actually trying to, encourage the parents not to send, you know, unhealthy snacks during snack time. But there are times, like, there are Welch's fruit and yogurt snacks that's out. There's Welch's fruit snacks that are out there that they're just like, they taste like candy, they appear like candy, but they're actually real fruit snacks and real yogurt. There are things that can be done. Now, parents, let me give you a little bit of alternative suggestions to those that have diehard snacker kids that's not going to buy that you're giving them, you know, yogurt or a fruit. There are a few very good alternatives, like half sugar, fat-free, that taste really good and the kids are popular. There's a couple of cookies by the Chips Ahoy, by Nestle, where they have, it's like baked, and as much as it sounded like, you know, like it was going to be one of those cardboard waxy type things, these cookies are pretty good. They're pretty good, and they taste very close to the regulars, only they're thin. They're not thick. They're like thin crisps. And that takes away a lot of the fat content, the caloric counts, everything. There are cheeses that are out there that if you see that they say light, don't be discouraged. Trust me, when you open up the Kraft Singles lights, they taste like the regulars.
Okay? And also keep in mind, too, that your children will eat what's in the house eventually, unless there's some kind of allergic something that's going on with them where they can't eat it and they're physically getting sick. If it's in the house, they'll eat it. So they can't eat what you don't buy.
Indeed, that's a great thing, too. I'm sorry, I'm not a person that's going to tell anybody to stay away from whole milk because I'm one of those people that just cannot compromise with whole milk. I'm sorry. The most I'll go down is to 2%. Now, my children, on the other hand, don't mind drinking the skim milk or the 1%. They'll deal with it. But there are just certain things I do not compromise with. My coffee. But I'll try to go a little light with certain things, you know. But coffee is one.
Too, the whole milk, whole milk is in our bodies, too. And as African-American and Hispanic people, our bodies do not digest that milk the way that other ethnicities do. It does not. So if you can avoid eliminating as much whole milk as you can, do so, because it will be better. It helps with asthma, too. It helps with those kind of illnesses, with breathing issues as well, too. Whole milk isn't always the best alternative. So everything in moderation. We're only in this country are we becoming allergic to food when there are places around the world who don't have food. How do you get allergic to food? This means because we have access to it's too much. So in moderation and have a plan and a time frame in how we're going to do this when we're raising our children, bedtime, place order in what time you come home, what time school, time homework gets in, when it's time to go to snacks, mom and dad, be on top of the game, you know, the same way you want them to look good with the brand new clothes on, you want them to feel good also when they come out of the clothes too, because body image is everything, and to recognize that we do not fit those charts that these doctors have. They need to upgrade those charts because I've never fit those charts. I was 6 feet tall from the time I was 14 years old, so I've never fit those charts. We were thick kids. We weren't fat. We were thick, healthy kids, and I never saw myself on that chart. And if my mother and father followed that chart, we were always obese, and there was nothing obese about us.
That's
so, you know, recognize what's important and be honest with yourself. And if you've made some mistakes in the choices that you've made and the diets that you've put forth with your children, forgive yourself because we all make mistakes and start over because every day is a new day. And I'm going to go, but I love you and I think you're doing a wonderful job. Ladies and gentlemen, continue to support Katie because she is phenomenal. And I love you dearly, and I want you to be successful in everything that you do. And ladies and gentlemen, please support, please listen, be a support to one another, know your neighbors and be of service to one another, pray, eat well, live well, and be happy.
Thank you, sir.
Have a wonderful evening, darling.
You too, honey. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that everything that you have heard this evening, you know, brings some positivity or some progress or has enlightened you with the things you don't know. My final thoughts in my last 12 minutes is this. I do not agree with the government classifying childhood obesity as yet another form of neglect or abuse in a parent. I do believe that there are certain exceptions to a rule where there is just outright lack of concern from parents. But mainly I think it's people not understanding that what we believe of food is counteractive to the health situation. And I don't believe that the health situations or the scares that's coming up nowadays is not because there are changes in economy and medical data and just in foods itself nowadays. Things aren't made the same way. They're not processed the same way. They don't have the same, you know, wholesome content in a lot of things that we believe are wholesome anymore. So a lot of reactions are happening. But if you are a parent and you are not unable to cook and you are watching your child get bigger by the minute to the point where they are almost like looking as if they're taking steroids, and you see your young child is having a problem doing simple things like walking 2 steps without gasping for air, and you come along and you are feeding them consciously and with will things that you know by all means is considered something you should eat in small portions, and you're making this their primary thing to do in addition to that, then maybe you need to be educated, or maybe there should be some intervention to a point. Should any government walk in and be able to take a child out because of nutritional values or lack thereof? I think not, unless the child is undernourished when they could be nourished, unless the child is sick or dehydrated, that's a different story. But to be fed too much, I think that's not something that anybody has the right to come in and classify as abuse. But I do think that more of us need to be educated, be more aware, open our eyes, take a look at what's happening with our children, and as hard as it's going to be, try to find some alternatives to the things that's allowing our children to rapidly become obese and be at risk of health care issues that usually older people have when they're on their way to finishing out the last years of their life. Our one-year-old should not be having problems with cholesterol or stroke or heart attacks or obesity. Our one-year-old children should not be having respiratory problems because of obese-related issues. And by all means, we do have to start enhancing and enforcing some physical activity and stripping away the extra time with the video games and technology. Life has to go to a point where people have to start remembering that the real world is here in front of you, not out there in these things that you press and click and, you know, use your thumbs with. My final thought is, government, Your interference is necessary when there's an imminent danger. Other than that, you are supposed to be able to educate us to help ourselves. And for those of us that are really just in the dark, seek out support. Seek out people who may have gone through it. Seek out people who are on top of certain things, and don't be afraid to ask for help. Because anybody who would put on you some sort of embarrassment or spread the word that you're in some type of trouble is not for you anyway. But asking for help is the only way you're going to be educated on anything. As far as our children go, let's start making alternatives, because as our guest said, the children will eat what's in the house. They'll find a way to start liking what's there. I'm one of those people that cannot take bland, saltless, unseasoned food for healthy reasons. Not at all. I need some flavor in what I'm doing. Because the idea of eating healthy is to enjoy eating healthy. That's the only way we're going to connect with what we're eating and connect with the purpose of eating healthy and giving ourselves benefits is by being able to adhere to something that's realistic for us. So all these Dr. Oz guru, magic in a bottle overnight, things for losing weight, you know what? Maybe they do, maybe they don't, but the real world doesn't have magic in a bottle. And what happens when your $29.99 runs out after that supply? So the only way you're going to keep this off is to put out yet another bit of money you don't have or shouldn't have to spend? It's a sad thing. It's a sad situation. The good news is preschool obesity rates have dropped tremendously, and this is a recent study and report as of August 6th of this year. And that is thanking the federally funded programs that we lower income people are, not mandated, but we need to have in order to survive or make ends meet. So, you know what? Kudos to WIC, and FAN, and, all of those people that are out there in these programs and putting these restrictions on, because frankly, kids could love Cheerios just as much as they like, crave cereal. People can love regular cornflakes. The children would love regular cornflakes as much as they would love Frosted Flakes. So for every little bit that we could take away, it's one edge up on keeping our children as healthy as possible. Find ways to have fun with fruit. Allow the children to put a little something on it that will give it a little taste and not add too much. Make some creations, make a smoothie, make a shake, do something. Get the children involved with doing that, because sometimes if they look at it themselves or it's their own work, they'll eat it just because. Okay? With all that being said, I want to thank every single one of you that have put out in this segment. I want to thank all of you that have been answering the pre-broadcast questions to be a part of the segment, without being live on it. Those of you streaming and listening, hopefully this will help you. I know that there are a lot of very picky children out there, and nowadays, if it's not wrapped up in something that crinkles and can be thrown away or popped in a microwave, it's almost as if you're giving them foreign foods. So I can understand that. But let's try our best. Government, stay out of our household. Stay out of our household. You don't know us. And unless you have something that's going to be worldwide progressive, that everybody can benefit from, and that what we are doing really, really, really has another way to do it, then leave us alone. And whatever reports that you're putting out there to inform the public, be clear on what exactly it is that you're telling us. Don't tell us that apple juice is great and then turn around and say, no, not anymore. Not anymore, because now it's too much sugar. No. Don't. You can drink soda. It's not so bad, but don't drink diet soda. Because first it was don't drink the regular soda because it was too much sugar. Now it's diet sodas create all sorts of problems. Don't create sweeteners and approved sweeteners that you know cause cancer. Then turn around and tell us that we shouldn't be having real sugar. So you know what? Stay out of it. Stay out of it. And start using your judgment, because there are people out there that are truly hurting their children and truly messing around and not feeding them or feeding them things just because they want them out of their hair. That's what you need to look for. But there's patterns to show that. And you still need to use that interference with kid gloves. You don't know us. Stay out of our house. Stay out of our household. Till tomorrow, everybody. Be blessed. Be a blessing. Make a difference. Just be a little more informed with your own lives. Take the reins in your own lives. Make a difference one household at a time. And God bless all of you for being there. I'll see you tomorrow night at 8:30. Have a good evening.
On the Edge, we'll talk about real issues.